Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 11 Light Outdoors. On the mic with you. Sorry it's so late. Been a long day. I've been struggling. Had a little under the weather episode today, so be praying for me that we get this through. Not feeling real well. Got a lot going on and got to travel this weekend. So again, keep us in your prayer as we continue on this fight. I want to share with you a message that God put on my heart today. I actually just finished writing this just a little bit ago, coming through a lot of different things, some of my own, as I am going through some challenges and things that we all talk about, and others that I know who are going through difficult times, trying times. It's like our faith is being tested on a regular basis. And we always ask the why. There's always the why questions that we go through with, you know, why is it that we have to struggle? And so I titled this today, What's Up with the Struggle? We have a weakness. And the struggles that we face typically become our weakness. When we're faced with our weakness, we can either agree with the condemnation of the accuser, the one that's causing our weakness, or whatever it may be, or we can tend to lean into the testimony of Jesus' bloodshed for us on the cross. We were bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ bought us. He redeemed us by his blood. The Apostle Paul combats the enemy's quest for our self-hatred and discrediting ourselves with the truth of God's faithfulness to us amidst temptation to present us blameless at his appearing. Fighting the good fight often looks like persevering through our failures and clinging to the goodness and the faithfulness of Jesus. This builds an endurance in our faith. We must endure, and this helps strengthen that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul describes a thorn in his flesh. The Lord would not remove it in order to maybe bind the apostle in humility, is kind of how we bring this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 in the Amplified says, because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelations which I received from God. For this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan is how he describes it, to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, we have to understand who Paul was. Paul was, at one point, was Saul, and he was a persecutor of Christians. He was a very knowledgeable, very according to the law. He knew the law and he knew it inside out, and he was persecuting Jews. So when he had his encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he was literally changed forever and even received a new name, went from Saul to Paul, the apostle, he obviously he was a prideful man. And so he's been given this thorn in his flesh, this messenger of Satan, to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself. Those are his own words. In Romans chapter 7, he confessed that he constantly did things he did not want to do. Romans chapter 7, verse 10 through 11, and then verse 24 through 25, I kind of try to condense this down for time's sake. And the very commandment, which was intended to bring life, actually proved to bring death to me. For sin, seizing its opportunity through the commandment, beguiled and completely deceived me, and using it as a weapon, killed me, separating me from God. Wretched and miserable man that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt mortal existence? Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind serve the law of God, but the other, with my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I serve the law of sin. See, the Lord was sanctifying Paul. He was setting him apart, and his desires were often in opposition to his flesh. God's desires for us will come in opposition to our flesh. There's a constant battle that's being fought on the world, the realm between flesh and spirit. Paul did not excuse his sin. He did not hide his sin. Paul confessed his sin, and he celebrated the weakness of his flesh as a means for God's powerful grace to be perfected in him. We who depend on Jesus for salvation, We depend on Jesus for our sanctification, being set apart, and our maturity in Christ cannot spend our days agreeing with the accuser of the brethren. Well, we can't find ourselves playing party to the one who created the mess. We must fully rely on the integrity of God's word and cling to the promises made to us in Christ, working our salvation out with fear and trembling, as it says in the word. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13 says, "So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it. Bring it to full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity." Man, we need to write that one on the fridge. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. For it is not our strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for His good pleasure. Again, I want to reiterate, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Our entire life is not about us. We can get caught up in our woe is me and our pity parties and our wallow pits all we want to, but it's not about us. It's always about Him. The truths of the gospel encourage, equip, and empower us to persevere through trials and even through personal failures. Ever had one of those? I can relate. We need to ask God to grant us courage to renounce our unbelief and to believe on Him only in Christ every single day. The Bible instructs us to endure until the end, to overcome. So what does enduring till the end even look like? Well, the writer of Hebrews ties perseverance with obeying the will of the Lord and reminds us that the inheritance of God is for those who prioritize His will in this age. Jesus described much of the same in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. I won't take the time to go to read all that out. I would encourage you to, because it's to earmark this passage, visit it often, reminding ourselves about the Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes? That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Again, those are great refrigerator prayers to have on your fridge, the Beatitudes. Jesus explicitly told His disciples that love for Him is reflected in obedience to Him. John 14, 15, "If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments." Scripture likens doing good works, explained in Ephesians 2, 10 and Colossians 1, 10, to worship. So Scripture likens doing good works to worship. We're created to worship Him. We obey Jesus because we love Jesus and we want to honor Him with our lives. What about the guys on the road after Jesus' resurrection that He met, He walked with? "He makes our hearts burn," is what they said. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while He was talking with us on the road and opening the Scriptures up to us? Our hearts need to burn when we're in the presence of the Lord. We need to feel His presence searing into our hearts. And through this, our lives become a testimony of worship through our obedience to His commands. Paul urges us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, to not grow weary of obeying Jesus, and not grow weary of doing good works. And he ties not growing weary with reaping a harvest. Galatians 6, 9 actually says, "Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in, if we don't quit, if we don't fall flat on our face and never get back up." Don't grow weary of doing what is right. God chose us to bear good fruit. Excuse me. John chapter 15, verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, as my representative, he may give it to you." Now, I like this. The Amplified breaks this out a little bit. Excuse me. I really like how it says that, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, and then in parentheses, it has as my representative. So when we're talking about asking God in Jesus' name, we've got to be asking as his representative. In other words, we're doing his work. We're about my Father's business, as Jesus would say, as his representative, that he may give that to you. And he warned that those who do not bear fruit are like an unfruitful tree, which will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew 7, verse 19 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Persevering in good works despite difficulty and fatigue is an appropriate response to the grace of God given to us in Jesus. Trusting in his goodness and faithfulness to lead and to guide us, even in our struggle, even in our difficulty. We can trust him today that he is not unjust to forget even a single act of our obedience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown for his name in ministering to the needs of the saints, God's people, as you do. Again, we're instructed to count it all joy when we face difficulties. So what does rejoicing in suffering look like? Paul's thorn in the flesh produced a humility and a dependence on God, because the Lord wanted to destroy any pride within the apostle. In other words, Paul was not just annoyed by his imperfection, he agonized over it, and he wanted it dead. However, knowing even the great apostle Paul's weak frame, God was satisfied to leave Paul's thorn right where it was for the sake of keeping him from greater destruction, which would have been his pride. Paul had to be humbled in order to fulfill the purposes of God in his life and for the testimony of the church throughout all the ages. I find that interesting that the Apostle Paul, someone that we consider of great stature in the biblical realm, was someone who had to be humbled in order to fulfill the purpose of God in his life, in order to complete the testimony of the church throughout the ages. We often wonder why we have to go through the things that we go through. It could be because sometimes I make dumb mistakes. Sometimes I make dumb moves. Sometimes I open wrong doors. Sometimes I go places that maybe that's not where God intended me to go. Maybe it's because I chose my own path instead of really seeking the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you're going through your challenge or your struggle because you've made a mistake. What I'm saying is that we need to pay attention to the struggle that we are in and allow God to use us right where we are. I believe that's what Paul is speaking when he talks about his thorn in his flesh. I don't know what it was. I wish there was more descriptiveness of, you know, was it something others could see? Was it something, did he have a limp? Did he have a disjointed figure? What was it? Because it makes me wonder, I know God used his struggle to reach other people, and he'll use our struggle to reach others as well. When we keep our faith and we continue to obey him and do what he's calling us to do, even in the midst of our challenges, that's when God becomes more faithful to us at all times. He'll complete his work in us. Paul explains that this is a good thing, and it is a reason to rejoice. Even though he's suffering, it's a reason for him to rejoice. To endure suffering, we've got to have a confidence in the hope of God. We do not rejoice in our suffering itself. I don't go around going, oh boy, I'm sure thankful I got a bad back. I'm sure thankful my knees hurt. That's stupid. We don't rejoice in the suffering itself. We rejoice in the God of our salvation, who himself is our joy and our reward, who produces character in us through our suffering. Thorns like Paul's produce a godly humility and an eternal glory, if we'll let it. You understand that? I've got to allow this thorn in my flesh, this issue that I'm dealing with, I've got to allow it to break my pride. Yes, I have pride. Listen, I got Ron and I, we went to Sam's one day, and she wanted me to use one of them little electric buggies. Well, my pride just won't let me do that, right? I mean, I'm going to push a cart. As long as I can lean on the cart, I'm all right. Well, I'm about halfway through the store, and I'm about to die. because my legs are asleep, my back's killing me. There ain't nowhere to sit down. I wound up sitting on some pop, believe it or not, because I couldn't stand there any longer. The next time we went to Sam's, I swallowed some of my pride and I got on one of their little buggies. Of course, I did get angry because about halfway through the store, the little buggy quit, and I had to abandon it out there in the middle of an aisle and push around his cart the rest of the way through the store. But we've been back since, and I've used the little buggies because I simply can't walk through the store anymore. It's frustrating, it's humbling, because I don't like people looking at me. You know, I think they're looking at me going, "Oh, look, hey, the fat guy can't walk anymore, so he's got to ride the little buggy. He's too lazy to walk the store." So it bothers me. It's a humbling thing for me. But thorns like Paul's produce a godly humility and eternal glory. They sting in the present, but we'll finally get fully pulled out of our flesh when Jesus appears. And we will be grateful for all that he wrought on us to restore us to the holy image that we are made in. Through all of this, the one thing we must grasp is that there is hope infused in patience. It's available for us. Patience is the universal tie that binds all elements of perseverance together. Whether we're talking about our salvation, our obedience to Jesus' commands, or the purpose of God in our suffering, patience is the universal tie. I'm not a great person of patience. I don't have a lot of patience. I struggle in that area. But the Apostle Paul says that even the whole of creation has an element of future hope in the revelation of the sons of God, because created order began to die when God's image bearers sinned. When his image bearers are restored, so shall created order be restored. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 25, Paul emphasizes that although those who are his have been adopted and are redeemed, there is a day coming when the adoption is fully realized and the redemption of humankind is complete. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 25 says, "For I consider him from the standpoint of faith that the suffering of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be freed from its bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been moaning together as in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but we too, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, a joyful indication of the blessings to come. Even when we groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for the sign of our adoption as sons, the redemption and the transformation of our body at the resurrection. For in this hope we are saved, by faith. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what we have already, what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure." Paul wants us to understand that persevering patience is produced by the hope of that day when Jesus comes to get us. In other words, when I'm struggling to be patient, I'm disconnected from the hope of the redemption of my body. He communicates the futility of hoping in what we can see, conveying that hope is part of faith in the goodness and the faithfulness of God who keeps his promises. Verse 25, "But if we hope in what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Patience in all things is therefore the key to perseverance and fighting the good fight. The patience is realized through the revelation of hoping in things to come. If you're going through a challenge tonight, if you're going through a struggle that just has you bogged down, patience is therefore the key to perseverance and to fight the good fight. It's realized through the revelation that there's hope in things to come. This produces us in us a resolve of preserving faith in things unseen. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, when we surrender our heart completely and wholly to the Lord and repent of our sin and take our hands off the wheel and let him work in us and on through us our trial or our challenge. When we let God work in through the midst of our struggle, when we let Him, things happen. It's putting our hope in things unseen. It's putting our hope in knowing that there's a coming a day and there's coming a hope in things to come. I don't have to endure this for an eternity. When my time here on this earth is over, I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new resolve. I'm going to be a new man. I have to long for that day, and I have to endure through the time that I'm in, serving the Lord. Don't just sit back in your dark corner. Use whatever it is that God has given you as a platform to speak to others. Live your life out loud. Live your life loud enough for others to hear what it is you're speaking. Let me close this up. I know I'm kind of long-winded tonight, because I want to pray over us. Jesus, thank you that you love us enough to train us through discipline. Father, we love you, we trust you, and we submit ourselves to you this very day. Lord, I thank you for the things that we can't see and for the faith you've given us to believe for those things that we can't see. Your return is our blessed hope, and being with you is our exceedingly great reward. Father, I thank you that you are conforming us to your image. God, grant us grace to fight the good fight. God, give us strength to finish the race. This race that you've placed in front of us, this race that you've destined us to run. As we surrender our hearts to you tonight, God, as we turn over those things that are holding us back from you, God, those things that are just keep us bound up. God, free us tonight from all the matters that don't matter to us, knowing that this truly is all about you. You've created us for your glory. You've created us to live our life out loud, to share the light that you've placed within us. God, those that are struggling through things tonight, I just ask you to give them peace. God, that you give them an understanding of the fight that they are in is your fight. You're not leaving them. You're not forsaking them. You're right there with them in the midst of it. That God, all they got to do is trust you. All they've got to do is believe in you and use whatever it is that you've given them to speak into the life of someone else. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I understand it. Even in my hardship, it's difficult. I get bogged down, but God, I know that you have a plan, and I know what that plan is. That plan is to prosper us, not to harm us. That plan is to give us a hope and a future, and that hope and that future is in you. That's the key ingredient. We have to endure the challenge, the struggle, whatever it is that's got us bound up, and as we endure in you, we shall see our hope unveiled before us. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you for allowing me the freedom to be a little long-winded. God bless you. I'm praying for you. I know the challenge of the struggle. And I get reports on and on from people who are going through the fight. And I can relate. I understand the fight. But God is our final reward. Even in the midst of the fight, do not lose sight of whom our hope is in. Amen. God bless you. Rhonda and I love you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Please continue to pray over us. Support us financially if you can. Man, we would greatly appreciate anything we can get right now. Our challenge is great as well. Support us financially. All of our giving links on our website, pinned right at the top of our Facebook page. Pray for us, please, as we continue to seek out that which is lost, so that they may be found. Amen. God bless you. Rhonda and I love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.